Also, it's doing something else. It's going after exactly that moral conception that underlies the labor movement from its origins. Namely, we're in it together. You know, it's not just gain wealth, forgetting all but self. Like we should care not only that my kid can go to school, but the kid down the street can go to school. That's what's being driven out of people's heads. You know, there's a very powerful effort to drive any of that out of people's heads. You're only supposed to care about yourself, unless you're rich, of course. If you're rich, you're part of big socialist structures called corporations with strategic alliances and plenty of support from the state, and then you're allowed to have all these feelings about, yeah, we work together, for us, the rich guys. But everybody else is supposed to be on their own. You know, you're not supposed to care whether the kid down the street goes to school. It's like breaking, it should be very familiar to people in the labor movement. This is the main propaganda against the labor movement all the time. I mean, right, the work laws, everything else. You shouldn't work together. That's bad. If you work together, you might do something that matters, okay? So just be out on your own, you know? And if you can get a voucher, so maybe your kid can go to school, forget about everything else. I mean, look, this is a very much a business-run society, you know? I mean, about the last figures I saw, about one out of $6 in the whole economy is spent on marketing. It's an extremely inefficient use of funds, of course. Marketing doesn't produce anything, any public goods. But marketing is a form of manipulation and deceit. It's an effort to create artificial wants, you know, to put people, to control the way people look and think about things. A lot of that marketing is straight propaganda, advertising. Incidentally, most of it is tax-free, or a lot of it is tax-free, which means the way our system works, you pay for the privilege of being propagandized, you know, of having all this stuff dumped on you. Those are not small figures. That's like $1 trillion a year in 1992, something on that order. And yes, these when you've got that much of a commitment to controlling minds and manipulating desires and so on, and doing all the things they talk about in the public relations literature, I'm not making it up, you can read it there, and the social science literature, because this is also standard academic talk too. Well, you know, when you've got those stakes, you're going to work on it hard, and it's going to be hard to fight against. That's what makes organizing tough. It's not just, you know, well, you know way better than me, and I'm not going to talk about it, but you have to break through a lot of psychic resistance. The whole history of the labor movement tells you that. And as I say, this was well understood by Mill, Hands, and Lowell 150 years ago. But yeah, it's a big battle. And you're not just struggling against somebody who calls it a right to work act, you're struggling against 5 hours a day of television and the movie industry and the books and the schools and everything else. The scale of the efforts to win the battle for men's minds is enormous. I mean, I thought I knew something about this stuff, but when I read Elizabeth Fone's Wolf book, I was pretty shocked just to see the scale of the efforts. And the dedication, you know, the frenzied dedication to winning this everlasting battle. It's really pretty impressive, although if you think of the stakes, it's not too surprising.